We're in the second chapter of Ephesians. In the closing verses of first chapter of Ephesians, Paul explains to us how God the Father has put all things under the feet of his only begotten Son, Jesus. And he has exalted Jesus as the head of his church. Whenever you perhaps have questions about a church, or if it's or maybe you're even seeking a new church, you're new to an area or something like that. One way to find out if they're truly a Christian church is look and see what they do with Jesus. What did they do with the Lord Jesus? Many churches will exalt the Holy Spirit, even praying to the Holy Spirit, honoring the gifts of the Spirit, which is to be done. And other churches are into self-exaltation, are telling us we can be all that we desire to be. Live for that glorious life. You are the king's kid. Nothing is too good for you. And they say things like, God wants you to prosper. Well, he does. But God wants us to prosper as our soul does prosper. So where are we spiritually is what our Lord is more intimately concerned with. And I'm convinced that I'm as blessed by God as much as he dares to bless me. You know, I'm right there. I've got his blessings upon my life, and I don't think he dares to give me more than I have right now. We are to view the blessings of God into developing our spiritual knowledge of God and his desires for us. Solomon, David's son, asked God for wisdom as king of Israel. He didn't ask for riches. And Solomon was very wise, and he was very wealthy. And his wealth and riches were added to him by God. Now, I try to be a good steward of the monies given to me by the Lord. And I try to live within the blessings within that he's entrusted to me, which includes decent health and decent wealth. And I try to be content with where I'm at with God or where he has me. I'm not rich, but I'm not poor. But where does God have me? I seldom speak to you people about giving beyond your means. Your offerings, and they're a part of your worship, are between you and God. Not between you, me, and God, but between you and God. I always want to be on the giving side of my life to the Lord. I don't want to be a taker. I want to be a giver. In truth, we cannot outgive God anyway. All we have is his blessings. We can only give back to God a portion of what he has blessed us with. And as pastor, I used to get a lot of mail. I don't get so much anymore. And my mail would always center on two subjects: how to increase your numbers and how to increase the giving from your people. Okay. That's putting the cart before the horse, but anyway. Therefore, I gladly declare my needs are met by the Lord, and I'm blessed. Blessed that God's blessings are upon Lori and myself. And our church here, it's ours, it's paid for, and God has met all our needs here as a fellowship, as a church building, and as you people. So, you're to give according to to your heart before the Lord. And I don't want to dare interfere in that. Give what the Lord would have you give. I hope I never fall into pressuring anyone to give. That's a private issue. Our giving is an act of worship. It's applying our daily life and our funds to God's kingdom. So let's look at chapter 2 of Ephesians, and we'll look at verses 1 through 10. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we are all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he has loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up together, and made to sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. A true Christian's life is there as a gift of God. Jesus has given us life while we were dead in trespasses and sins. The words he made alive are in italics, meaning they were added to the scripture for our understanding of the passage. Paul wants us to realize Jesus gave us life while we were dead. While we were dead in sin and trespasses. I think we all need to remember as being dead in trespasses, and trespasses deliberate sin, Jesus, by and through his cross, looked upon us and gave us grace. He had grace and he showed us mercy. We're to never forget the grace and mercy of our God. We were all dead spiritually. Knowingly or unknowingly, we were all dead. Before God enlightened us by his Spirit to save us, we were blind, being a slave, caught up in sin, opposed to God, aliens, strangers before God, living and walking contrary to God's ways and his law. Living a life that was ruled by lust and desires of our flesh. In our scripture reading, we read how Jesus, after his resurrection, raised from the grave, he said to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you." And he breathed on the disciples and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit," or be spiritually awakened. And this is after they had walked with him 3.5 years. But it was until he rose from the dead, suffered the cross, that he could save them. He had died for their sins. And the same applies to us. He died for our sins. There is a saying that describes our former life, and it's kind of the world's axiom, you might say. If it feels good, do it. We've all been there. When I was a young man in California, I belong to a Jeep 4x4 club. And once a month, we would go out into the desert and party it up, driving our 4x4s, or I should say wrecking our 4x4s and calling it fun. But going out of town, the freeways were jam-packed, going out of town to enjoy the weekend. Same thing coming home Sunday evening. The freeways again were jam-packed, people coming back into their homes to start their work week. But being involved in traffic, going and coming, yet calling it fun and exciting. I lived and looked forward to the weekends. I was dead spiritually, but I was alive to my flesh. My flesh cried out, do it, have fun, and I was there. But a comment on trespassing and sins. To trespass is to cross God's standard, to go beyond what God has for us. And we say in our hearts when we trespass, God's boundaries do not apply to me. I will live out my life as I see fit. But we're told that we are sinners. The Word of God tells us we are sinners. And to sin, it's an old English archery word. It meant you shot an arrow and you missed the bullseye, so you sinned. To sin is to miss the perfect bullseye. And Paul said, we've all sinned, and we have. Paul continues, while apart from God, we all walked in the lust of our flesh, which is very true. And we're led to walk in the flesh by the prince of this world. And he works in the lives and the sons of disobedience, following and making our own lust of the flesh seem pleasurable. Our sinful desires of the flesh, well, we look for people to have fellowship with who are also seeking sinful desires of their flesh, and we kind of come together. Before our salvation, we lived in a world around us seeking out the pleasures of sin. And sin is pleasurable. Why else would man sin? But you know, it's a constant prayer of mine that I thank God that he saved me from me. I was on a path of destruction. The most miserable of all men is to try to walk with God and enjoy the sins that so easily entangles us. Not making Jesus Lord, but trying to live with a foot in both worlds. But we've been made alive. God has seen fit to show us mercy by his grace. And having been made alive, God forbid that we fall back into sin and a sinful lifestyle. He has better things for us. The book of Hebrews gives believers a warning. Having tasted the goodness of God, do not return to a disobedient life. We're to stay away from a disobedient life. And Paul, he gives us a name for this, and it's called being active in Satan's activities, being part of his kingdom, or being with the prince of power of the air. You remember, you've read it, I've read it, that when Satan tempted Jesus, we saw he had power over this world. He has the world as his habitat. I had a good Christian friend say to me one time, if God does not want us to lust after women, why did he make them so beautiful? Good question. We can identify with that. Why did God allow us to be tempted in such ways? We can be like Adam. Who did Adam blame for his sins? He blamed God. It's the woman you gave me, and I listened to her. Poor little innocent Adam. And we all, in our past, being in these bodies of flesh, are known or were known as children of wrath. And the thought there is, we are rightly deserving God's wrath because we are sinful. How's that for a heritage? We were, past tense, children of wrath. Thank you for salvation, Lord. Those who make the claim that we are children of God are usually philosophers of this world, and they do not know that God, our Creator, only uses the term children of God as our Creator or for those that have been born again into His kingdom. That's the only children of God. But God in His mercy, giving us positions as God's children because of Christ's work on the cross, we hear modern-day thinking philosophers, sociologists, and all this, calling us children of God. But you're only a child of God if you're a born-again saint. That's His only kingdom. That's His people. When we all go to family reunions, and I assume you're like me, you have believers in your family and you have unbelievers in your family, but I find myself not having much in common with the non-believers. So I gravitate towards the believers and my conversation with them. And that's the way we are. We come together as a church to fellowship with one another and to fellowship with God. Back when I was in business, I would go to conventions, different places around the United States. And I was traveling from California to Texas, and this non-believer, we hooked up and we're going to ride together. But he had a word for me before we started out. He says, now, Don, I don't want you talking about God or Christians. I said, okay. But here's the other half of that. I don't want to hear about your conquests as a womanizer. Fair deal? We had a silent trip. And it was a long trip. Understand that light and darkness, they don't have much in common. And Christians, we are to have an understanding because of God's love and mercy, we are reconciled to a holy God. We are reconciled to eternal life, a better way to live. Not because there were some good qualities in us, not because we had something down deep that God desired and He wanted to use us, no. The truth is simple. We were opposed to God before He saved us. But He made us alive by grace, places us to sit together in the heavenly places, so that in the ages to come, God can demonstrate the exceedingly riches that He has in kindness towards us. We go to a better place. We go to heaven. God rewarding us as His children. We're His treasure. And God has done this with all believers who were once dead but are now alive. Excuse me. God has made us alive together with Christ. For our salvation to have meaning, we must realize that our former state, we were dead. We were not a bunch of good people with a few sinful quirks. We were dead. Dead. Have you ever considered the goodness of God for it to be seen? Evilness of Satan had to be exposed to us. He's the alternative, Satan is. He's evil. In the Israeli war today against Hamas, Hamas is seen to be diabolically evil. Well, they are. The inhumane evilness of Hamas, it's dreadful. Dreadful. So it's not hard for us believers to side with Israel when Hamas's evil deeds are exposed for the entire world to see. They were barbaric in their killings, and still are, of Jews. Anybody from the United States, they torture women and children, and they are despicable in their behavior. And we would be too, if not saved by God. The term saved is telling us that being dead, you're now alive. Thank God for saving us. God has not saved a group of people with holy potential. We were all dead in sin. God saved us while we were opposed to Him. Not by anything that was good about us. Saved from a life of no meaning, saved from hell. Hell's real. However, God made us alive to Himself. And He's working in us for a reason. He has a purpose for our lives. Paul goes on to say, we are God's workmanship. And the meaning there, we are a poem that God is working out for good. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works. God has good eternal plans for us. God desires that we be fruitful in good works. I try to make it a prayer of mine to see the good works that are before me. Not laying my head on the pillow at night and saying, I missed that opportunity. I want to see the good works and walk in those. I want to see some of the works that God has for me before they pass by me. Verse 10 tells us God has prepared beforehand a life with purpose. Doing things that Jesus would do. Jesus told His disciples they would do greater works than Him. Not more dramatic works, but greater in number than Jesus. I desire to be conscious of those good works before rather than afterwards. I don't want to, like I said, lay my head on my pillow and think, wow, I missed an opportunity there. I want to see those opportunities as they arise. I want to see my chance to be a witness. I want to see my chance to encourage someone. I want to see a chance that God has prepared for me because I'm His child and He wants me to do good works. And you're His child and He wants you to do good works. And how do we do good works? By walking and abiding in Christ Jesus by his Spirit. Amen? Amen. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. Father God, I pray this often, and I want it to be a prayer for all of us, that we would see the works you've prepared for us to walk in. We want to see those opportunities before they pass away, before they go by us. We don't want our schedule to get so busy, so full, that we miss an opportunity to be a Christian, to be about you, to be about your kingdom. So, Lord, if that means for us to slow down, slow us down. If that means to empty our portfolio of busy things, then empty our portfolio of busy things. We want to be about you and your kingdom. So help us, Lord, to see the reality, the goodness that you have prepared for us. And let us be part of them. Let us walk in them, Lord. So, we're asking you, by your Spirit, use us for your glory and for your kingdom, Lord. That's our prayer. We want to be used of you for good things. So help us, Lord. And we pray and ask for this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.